Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, glory be to our God. Amen. That we can all come together to this retreat. I was thinking of the word retreat. it just basically means to withdraw. And I just come out of all of your preoccupations, the noises that is around us, and let's retreat. And the Lord has given us an opportunity to, step away from all of these noises and the things that consume our hearts and our mind. And it's amazing that, you know, the apple of God's eyes, you know, his people. I don't know if you're like me, but I would always ask the Lord the question, Lord, what is Zion? Like, is it the place or is it the people? And it's both, right? But the Lord eventually, especially through all of the sharing, you know, reveals to us that Zion is where God dwells and he is united one with the people. The people are exactly having the same desire as their God. This is Zion. And it's amazing, so precious to God. Yeah, you know, it's important to keep this in our heart. What is in God's heart? Because one day, God is not going to check, okay, now you tell me about Zion, which are the verses in the Bible about Zion. He's not going to ask you, okay, you tell me all the verses in the Bible about Babylon. What he's going to do is he's going to check your heart. And in God's heart, what is dear to him is Zion. So the question is, in our heart, is it also dear to us? And for this reason, we retreated, that we can be reminded what is in our God's heart. Amen. This morning, we were praying, trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is what happens in Zion. The people trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I can tell you, my upbringing is not like this, to trust in the Lord with all my heart. My upbringing is trust in the Lord when I have the time and the chance. But most of the time, I'll trust in myself. And I'm sure this is for most of us as well. So it's good when we come together, we are reminded what is in God's heart. And in God's heart, he wants a people that trusts in him. This is the key. If we can really see this, then Zion will become even more clear to us. God wants us to see what is in his heart. That's why he also comes to us through his word, because his word is living and powerful. That's why I'm always encouraged. The brothers always remind me, read the word. Read the word. Not just read it, eat it. Oh, it's precious, because in God's word, he reveals what is in his heart. Yeah, it's good that we're reading from the book of Ezra. And in the book of Ezra, you can see that in the first chapter itself, a group of people were stirred up. Stirred up for what? You know, as the brother reminded us, for 70 years, the Jewish people who were in God's promised land, living, they were supposed to serve God acceptably with a reverence and a godly fear. But they turned away from God. They started serving idols. They started doing all the things that was an abomination in God's eyes. And what happened? Through the prophecy of Jeremiah that came to be fulfilled, these people would be exiled. They would be taken captive. And that's exactly what happened. They were taken to a foreign land. Can you believe this? God's apple of his eye, the people that was in God's hand, they decided to turn their hearts away from God. And why does this happen? Because it could happen with the influences around us. It could happen with our own heart becoming cold. You know, in Revelation, we are told, don't let your heart be lukewarm. You know, the worst condition you can ever be. The God that gave you a life and breath, how can you live without acknowledging him, without glorifying him? You know, but people turn the blind eye towards his God. And as Jeremiah prophesied, 70 years would pass and these people would then come out. So at the right appointed time. This is why this word is so living and powerful. You know, everything that is written has come to pass. Everything that is written will come to pass. And everything that is written is yet going to be fulfilled. That is why we have this word which is in our hearts. And today, and as you can read, we're reading about this Jewish people was reminded. Some stirring started to happen. And in Cyrus, you know, at that time, you know, he was the king of Persia who had overtaken Babylon. And, you know, in his heart, according to the prophecy of Jeremiah, God stirred him up to write a letter that was telling the people, go, it's time to leave. You know, these people have been in this place for a long time. And as the brother reminded us, you know, it started to get comfortable. And that's what Babylon does to you. It makes you feel comfortable. It makes you feel settled down. It makes you feel, wow, things are looking okay. But that's the thing about us Christians. We need to remember, are things always okay? We need to be careful. I'll come to that. But here, God stirred up a small number of the Israelites to leave Babylon. And we can read those verses again in Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Let's read 4 and 5. And this is the first part is Cyrus's letter. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, beside the free will offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levite, with all whose heart God had moved, arose and go up to the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Amen. Yeah, we can stop there. It's amazing. There was a group of people. It was a small group of people, actually. It was not all of the Jews. And if you read in the book of Isaiah, you can see they are called a remnant. A remnant is one that returns. And this remnant's heart had something stirred up in them. And I wonder why. Why was this thing stirred up in them? Why didn't they settle down in Babylon? It seemed pretty comfortable. That's because God's spirit stirs us. And he's the one who puts this desire in our heart. I look at a room full of, you know, we look at each one of us. You know, sometimes it's thing like, wow, I chose God. I'm here because of my doing. But, you know, this we have to be very careful. None of us have done anything to come to God's presence. You know, if at least what we deserve, we just deserve sin and death. But in his mercy and grace, you know, he opened our eyes to come and sit in his presence. To be called his people, it's such a great privilege. It's not a small thing. This is a God who loved us and gave himself for us, the word says. And he called us out. You know, it's not our doing. Sometimes you think, oh, because I believed. No. This is a lie from the enemy. We are sitting here because of God's greatest privilege. And he stirred in our hearts to come out. Today, we also have to ask the question, Lord, don't stop stirring in my heart to keep going as well. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to settle down, Lord. I want to know how to keep going on to build what you have called me to build. So today, we need to ask this question. Lord, you started the stirring. I pray that I never stop listening to your stirring. It was comfortable. You know, in Babylon, like the brother shared, they were given a good position. They were given, some of them started to build houses and all that. But there's a stirring that happens in our heart that tells us, go back, because Zion is important to God. You know, these people, when they were called out, I'll just read in Exodus 19. It's important for us to see this, especially for the new ones. You know, when God called the people out of Egypt once, he reminded them why he called them out. Exodus 19. Some of us can quote these verses without even looking. But I'll read it. This is why God called the Israelites out in the first place. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. If you will keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Amen. What a great privilege to be a people that is after God. A holy nation. A holy nation means someone that is not mixed up with the things of the world. The word holy itself shows you that you are separated, sanctified. Things that you don't mix with common things. Why are you called to be holy? Because God is holy. And in God's presence, he doesn't, you can't even have anything unholy. That's why his nature is holiness. It spreads across through him. And we are called to be such a people as well. But the people here were called back because there was a stirring in their heart. And I want to remind, you know, even this, it is God's desire that each one of us leave Babylon. We can read some verses from Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. According to the prophecy that was given to Cyrus, you can see over here from verse 10, and I'll read. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. This is God's desire to return to his place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Amen. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. Yeah, it's amazing that the word reveals to us why did God call us out in the first place. And like was reminded to us, you know, some here in, we are living in the days where, you know, even the gospel that is being preached is compromised. And I was also part of that compromised gospel where you just believe in Jesus and you will be saved. You know, something like this actually does not compel me to go and read the word because I've reached a happy place. I've reached a good place, it looks like. I'm saved. But I'm grateful to the church life and to the Lord that, no, he tells us, come to the word. Because in the word there is life. And through the word you can see that God has a purpose. He has a desire. He has a plan for us. And without meditating on his word, we will never get to know what is his plan and his desire. God wants us to leave anything that is to do with Babylon. And you know, the sad truth is, sometimes you will think you left Babylon, but Babylon hasn't left you. And this is a very dangerous thing. You may have left religion, but even religion hasn't left you. And these are the things that we want to meditate on today. To ask, Lord, what more is there in me that I want to have to leave for you, Lord? If Zion is important to God, I want to leave any traces of it. Like, you know, the brother in mine, you may have little traces here and there. Leave it all. Because this is God's desire. It's in his heart. So if it's in God's heart, it has to be in our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I also just want to show, you know, in a very simple explanation, how did we end up in Babylon? I have a whiteboard over here. Yeah, just to quickly explain, you know, it is amazing that the Word of God is not complicated. It is only through the Spirit that we will actually get to know what is in God's heart. You know, Amir, if your hand is spinning, we'll switch, yeah? Okay, you know, right at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, you know, God created man, you know, and he created all things, and he said, this is all very good. But when he created man, he said, this is very good. And he said, I have created man in my image and his likeness. Can you believe the privilege that man has that we are created in God's image and likeness? His nature, his character is supposed to be what we hold. This is the God that created us in his image and in likeness. And he said, this is very good. So this is in Genesis chapter 1 and in 27 and 28. Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Wow, what a privilege man is given. So let's just draw man. Just to pay attention here, yeah? Okay, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, it says over here, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And of the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in it, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It is..." Okay, that's all I wanted to read. What I wanted to point attention to is just this. As you can see, it's very subtle, but if you pay attention to it. You know, in verse 8 of chapter 2, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man in whom he had formed. This is our garden. You know, let's call it the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God planted a garden. And in verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took..." No, before that. In verse 7 of chapter 2, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." This is important to keep in your mind. So here, man was created from the dust of the ground. And this is the garden that God had created. And in verse 15 it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to tend and to keep it." So God took this man who was created in the dust, in the garden, to tend and to take care of the garden. Amazing, right? So man was created in God's image, in his likeness, and when he created him on the dust of the ground, he took him from the dust of the ground and placed him in the garden to tend and to take care of it. This was man's desire, to take care of it. And in this garden, God also planted, you know, trees, but there were two special trees over here. One was called the tree of life, and this is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I draw this so that you can remember, in the garden he created these things. And he said, "Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." But to me, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil sounds pretty good. Why wouldn't you eat of it? It gives you knowledge, it gives you understanding. But the only thing God said is, "Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And in the tree, in the garden, there was also the tree of life. But in this garden, there was also a luring serpent. And in chapter 3, it talks about this serpent. And the serpent said, "Hey, if you eat, who told you you should not eat of this tree?" And the woman said, you shall not eat." No, the serpent, who was more cunning, in chapter 3 says, he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Is that what God said? Exactly. She started to change the words. And then the serpent started to twist God's word. "You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And that's where the fall started. She looked at the tree. It was desirable. It was appealing to the eyes. And she wanted, maybe, you know, I'll become like God. The only thing God said is don't eat of this tree. The one commandment that he gave, don't eat of that tree. And what happened is, you know, it was appealing to the eye. And then she was led to eat of it. And what eventually happened is, you know, when God came, he said that he was looking for Adam. And he said, where are you? This is the God that searches for his people. Where are you? In verse 9. And the man said in verse 10 of chapter 3, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And this is where the man breached what God had told him. It's a very sad situation. But this is a God that created us, told us to tend and keep and take care of his creation so that we, man, could be always with God and take care of what he has given us. But here, for the first time, you can see that because of luring and lies and deception of one serpent that was in the garden, man's attention was turned away. And this is the key that I wanted to just bring out. In chapter 3, verses 23, man who was supposed to be in God's presence, see what happens over here. In chapter 3 of verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. He did not want him to have the access to the tree of life. So man who was supposed to be in God's presence, man who was supposed to be in God's presence was asked to leave God's presence. So this is man. He has to leave God's presence. Supposed to be in God's presence, tend and keep his creation, take care of his beautiful creation. Be always in God's presence. Man's creation was for being in God's presence always. But look at what happened, you know. The reason God had to send him out is because God is holy. He's righteous. He's everything that is against Babylon. He's everything that is against this serpent. And because of that, God did not want him to have the access to the tree of life, because if he has taken from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he has taken sin into himself and takes also from the tree of life, he will live forever in the sin. And this was God's mercy that he had to send him out. And he had to be taken away. And this is a very simple picture of what it means, you know, to stray away from God's presence. But what happened is not just this much. Once he reached here, away from God's presence, he needs security. He needs something to take care of him. And this is where the man started to create cities. He started to create ways of, you know, protecting himself, ways of, you know, entertaining, religion, politics, everything was from here. Because he didn't have God's presence to protect him, so he had to find his own ways. And this is, you know, finding false security, false worship, false anything away from God's presence. And this is a sad situation of mankind. But this is not what God intended. He wanted him here. And the story of the Bible is from there on what God is doing. What is this amazing God doing to bring this man back into his presence? This is the journey of the Bible. In the first three chapters, you get to see what God did, what man eventually brought himself onto. And the rest of the Bible is a journey of what God is doing to bring back man into his presence. And because of this amazing God, he cannot have anything other than holiness, righteousness. He has come down in the person Jesus, entered this place. You know, this is not what God wanted, but he entered the place for us. And he gave us this amazing thing called salvation. But now it's not done yet. Now it is time for us to work out our salvation, to work it out, to come climbing. And that's not an easy journey. It requires cost. It requires us to deny ourselves, to pick up the cross, because the one who went already picked up the cross. He made the way for us. Now we have to also work out through the one who gave us the journey, the one who gave us life. That's all, Amir. Thank you so much. Just that was just for the new ones. But it's amazing to always be reminded God has a goal. Amen. He has a place for us. Amen. And his place is with himself. And that's what Zion is for us. But is it easy? Is the journey back easy? The answer is no, it's not. Because of all the mess that has been created, all the Babylon that has been created, it needs us to come back. And it needs us to also pay the price for it. Just want to highlight a few more points over here. You know, the reason that we talk about Babylon often is because, you know, like the brother mentioned, it has an appearance of holiness. And many Christians are actually stranded in this situation. But what if there are a group of people that God stirs up, you know, and puts his desire in our heart, and we all are very clear with it, that when we meet fellow Christians, those people who call them, we can tell them about this truth. We can live out this truth. Then they will come and see, there is something different about this. And that is my personal experience. It's not the teachings that drew me closer to God, Zion. It is not all the things that just spoke, but it was seeing the life of Christ. And I was comparing it to where I was and where I was coming. And I saw a difference. And that is what drew me closer. It is life of Christ. Definitely we need to speak about the truth as well. Always speak the truth in love. But in order to speak the truth, we need to know the truth. And if we don't know the truth, we will also twist and be twisted when the enemy brings it our way. That's why the word of God is so important for us. And in the word, there is life. Yeah, I just want to touch on some more points. Babylon has an aspect of religious system and the material system. You know, it was highlighted to us yesterday about Babylon. It is this deception. It is everything that is against God. Everything that is against God is Babylon. And you know, you may have an appearance of, you know, being a Christian as well. But we have to be very careful. We have recently encountered some people that my pastor said that. I've heard this from my pastor, but we have to be very important. Are we hearing from God? Because God is the one who wants to speak to us. He may speak to us through the brothers and sisters, but we always have to go back to the Lord. Amen. And that is a key thing about being in Zion. God is our Father. And in his heart, he wants us to come to him first. Amen. Not go to people, not just rely on people, but that's what the appearance of Babylon does. It makes us rely on people. It makes us rely on things around us. And it's also very hidden. Sometimes we don't even know we are depending on these things. That's why Babylon is all about pretending. But you have to remember, the God of the Bible, he's a God that does not look at the outward appearance of a man. He looks at the heart of every single one of us over here. And we can read that verse. I'm always encouraged going back to 1 Samuel 16. We need to keep this in our heart always. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 7. Now I'll read. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Amen. The God that looks at each of our heart. Amen. That's the key. You know, the Lord will search our heart. And the Lord also has a heart. That's an amazing thing. You know, the Bible says that when God looked at the condition of man, he was grieved in his heart. Grieved in his heart. This is a God that created us. This is a God that created man to be in his presence. But he saw the condition of man, that man has gone away. And it said that he was grieved in his heart. So today, we also need to consider our hearts today. Because the truth is, you know, if my heart is not for God, I can do a lot of outward appearances. I can come to the meeting how many times I want. But if my heart is not right with God, there's no point. I remember our young brother Aaron reminded, I've become an excellent meeting goer. But if our heart is not right with God, what's the point? This is a God that looks at our heart. And in Zion, it is a heart that matters. It is not my outward appearance. Yeah. So we have to keep these things in mind. Babylon has an aspect also of religious system. And even sometimes, I don't even know myself. I am pretending. Until, you know, the Lord searches my heart with some deep questions. And then you'll get to know, are you totally for the Zion? Are your heart completely for this God? Or are you, you know, just trying to balance, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there? And so we have to be very careful. The question I want to also ask is, do we accept everything or are we uncomfortable and longing for God's dwelling place? Remember, God is holy. Nothing of the world, nothing of Babylon can even exist in his presence. And that also includes our agreement with things around us. You know, sometimes I'm very tolerating. I'm okay with, you know, I want to be a people pleaser. But God is not a people pleaser. He's the one that is holy. He does not accept everything. So we also, as his people, need to be very careful. And sometimes there are these hidden things in my heart, but God will search it out. He will bring it to surface. What about this area? What about this area? What about that thing that was said? Are you okay with it? And these days, I'm also more encouraged because, you know, we live in a society and a culture and a place where Christianity is so badly tainted. Like, you know, no one wants to even hear about Jesus Christ anymore. Because, you know, they are comparing, oh, look at those kind of people. Look at those kind of people. They are hypocrites. They are hypocrites. And this is the condition that the world sees even Christianity. It's a very sad situation what's happening. But this is not God's desire. And God's desire is for a people that has his heart, that represent him, to be a city on a hill that others will see and glorify God. Amen. So if we can be that people, what is in God's heart? I also just want to read some more verses because I'm sorry, running off time. Paying a price for Zion. This was the second part, you know. It's very important that, you know, as much as each one of us desire to know God, each one of us want to pursue what is in God's heart, opposition is also very much there. Amen. Opposition is there and enemies are also being stirred up to stop our walk with the Lord. So, you know, Nehemiah is a very wonderful book to be reminded of this. Because the task that was given to Nehemiah, the prophet, was to build a wall around the temple city. And it was not easy. And I will read some verses from Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. You know what? Let's read Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 17. That's smaller. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 17. Why, this is very encouraging for us today. It says, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Wow. You know what this means? Like, you know, on one side they have to build a wall around the city because God had put a desire that, you know, this his city has to be built. So with one hand he's building the wall, the people are building the wall, and the other hand has a weapon. You know why the weapon? Because the enemy is also being stirred up. The enemies are trying to stop God's work. And today, we have to be careful. We have to keep these things in our heart. Because today as well, you know, the kingdom of God is being built. But the violent must take it by force. We have to also be aware of the spiritual darkness, the spiritual fight that is happening around us. And sometimes even our family members will be against us. Sometimes even the people that we love will be against us. You know, I've been in Canada for 5 years. I came with actually many friends. I had so many friends. And today I look back, and you can ask my wife, you know, we're not able to keep in touch with any of them because they've all disowned us. Because in the beginning we were entertaining them, you know, we were doing what they did. We were meeting with them very frequently. But over time with the church life and, you know, the life of Jesus Christ increasing in us, the things that we wanted to talk to them changed. It was more about Lord. And then they had nothing similar to talk with us, and eventually we just stopped seeing them. Now even we don't even call them, they don't even call us, they've just gone away. Why did that happen? I really like, and I'm a friendly guy, I like to make friends, you know? But being in Zion is different, you know? What is in God's heart, if it's in our heart, that means lesser and lesser people will start liking you. And that's just the way it is, because it becomes a very small number suddenly. It's a very sad condition, but it is the truth. And if God is in our heart, nothing else should be of as much importance. So keep this in your mind. The world will be against us. You know, we are really encouraged with a brother who comes from another religion. You know, he comes from a religion that it causes persecution if he changes. But taking the stand for the Lord, you know, putting God first, even putting laying down your life for one another, it's not easy. But that is the cost that we sometimes have to pay. And people that have gone before have paid this cost as well. Why? Because this Zion is so real. It's so beautiful to our hearts that everything else is lesser importance. So we have to keep this in our heart, that if Zion is important to us, we also have to be careful. Like, you know, there will be opposition. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, we know these verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Amen. Yeah. Every citizen of Zion need to put on the whole armor of God at all times. It is not sometimes, at all times. We have to put on this whole armor. You know, as being a person of Zion, we have to always live in this constant mode of attack. You know, you should never put your guard down. And that is what it means to be a church life. That is what it means to be a praying person. You never put your guard down. You're always on the, because you know, the wiles of the enemy are sneaky. It can even come through our family members. It can even come through anyone, you know. So we have to always be a praying person. We have to always be those that are ready, you know, to put God's sword up, his word up always. And if you're not filled with the word, what happens? The enemy will slowly start coming in. Lies will slowly start coming. We will slowly start accepting things that is not of God. This is a very important thing. You know, as young people, I want to just warn you. You know, you don't know how subtle the enemy is. I'm someone who was swept into the world, and I did not even know it was an enemy's lies and the damages it can cause in you. We have to be very careful. Always be one that has God in your heart and pay attention to the wiles of the enemy. It's like a roaring lion, the word says, but he's also a serpent. So we have to be very careful, you know, to always not just be praying in the morning and then, you know, just forgetting about it, but always have God in your heart. This is what it means to be a citizen of Zion. Just a few more verses. Being exercised with the Holy Spirit. I was really encouraged looking at this in Zechariah chapter 4. Anything to do with Zion is nothing to do with your flesh. It is to do with the Spirit of God. And that is why even the building up of Zion does not happen with our own hands. It is with God's power. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain.'" This is a very important aspect of being in Zion. Always filled with the Holy Spirit. Always battling with the Holy Spirit. And how do you have the Holy Spirit in you? First is always being very clear that when you were born again, you were baptized, God's Spirit came and lived in you. And his strength is always inside you. And that you should never forget. And that you should always exercise. And you get to always exercise the Spirit by reading and meditating on God's word, putting God's desire in your heart. And it's very encouraging that, you know, even this, God knows our limitations. God knows that I cannot do it many a times. Even then, God in his amazing grace shows in the word, he will give you a new spirit. He will give you a new heart. But we have to ask these things of God. God, I'm not able to go for the meeting today. I don't want to fellowship with that brother today. I don't want to face any of the brothers today. I'm thinking negatively towards that brother or sister. Ask God. God will give me a new heart. Give me the appetite. Give me the strength to go on today. And I can tell you, I have tested and tried this many a times. Many a times thoughts come into my heart and mind. But when I ask God, something just goes away. And this is the evidence that this word is living and powerful. Yeah, so I just want to leave you with all these because I think I've taken so much time. But be encouraged, saints. You know, today, Babylon is trying to still bring us back, lure us back. But we are citizens of the Most High God. And we want God's heart in our heart. So may we continue to pursue this wonderful goal.
For us to see that the heart is very deceitful, very, very deceitful. You know, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14, Proverbs 14 and verse 14, it talks about the backslider. It starts in the heart. I can read it. Proverbs 14, 14 says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. So there are two places, within our heart and from the spirit. And it was so good to see that the Lord can bring this matter out to us. And we have to take heed to our heart. You know, another place in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall. You know, in Zion is a wonderful place. It's a beautiful place. But you should also think, if it was that wonderful, how come the children of Israel, they kept on losing it, right? How many times were they taken into captivity? It was so wonderful. They should have fought for it, right? But it's a subtle thing, and I pray the Lord will keep strengthening us in our heart, and so that we can see that it's not uhuru, right? We can't say, okay, then there's nothing for us to do. I was sharing with a brother this morning, and I said, God in his wisdom, when he gave them manna, he told them, you have to collect every morning. So it's a daily thing. We need to keep coming to the Lord. The Lord will renew our vision. The day we think we have seen it all, then we run into the same mistake. Praise the Lord.
While the brother was sharing about the Garden of Eden, what struck me was today we are also planted in his garden. And listening to his message today, we actually have a choice of tree of life and knowledge. Are we eating right now today from the tree of life, or are we sitting here just gaining knowledge? That was what really struck me, and all of us have to answer for ourselves.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I want to ask, can a person live in the Babylon but still belong to Zion in heart and purpose?
You understand? So can somebody be living in Babylon but his heart in Zion and he just stays in Babylon?
Yes. Is it by choice or by
by any means?
By any means? Yeah. Well, no, it's not possible. This is what we were saying yesterday with Psalm 137, that they could not stand it. They were only there not by choice, but as soon as they were given the opportunity, they left because they longed for it. It's not enough for the Jews. It was not enough just for their heart to be in Zion, but they wanted to physically be there because that's where the Lord put his presence. And also that's why the Lord also said, in those times when you worship me, you must go to the place where I choose. You cannot just offer your sacrifices anywhere you see. That's what Deuteronomy 12 says, but you must go to the place where I choose. In the same way for us, it's not about where, it's not, Zion is not a physical place for us now, but now to see that we have to leave all of the mess of traditional Christianity behind. This system that is a mixture of Christianity or God's things with the world. We have to leave that behind because Zion is holy. And it is only the way that God has designated it. Right? So even how we fellowship together, how we meet and how we function together, it has to be holy and according to the Word of God and by the Spirit. But in Zion, it's not by the Spirit, it's by feelings, by the flesh, it's by human traditions, it's by the world. What did I say? Oh no, yeah, by Babylon, it's the opposite. It's not by the Spirit, it's by the flesh, by human traditions, by religious traditions, using worldly methods. It's all these different things. Divisions are acceptable, you know. So it's very different from Zion, which is holy, separated. It's not of the flesh, of the Spirit. And we'll talk about that also. Even in Hebrews 9, it says it's not of this creation. It's not of this world at all. So if we really see that, then we will not be able to, you would not be able to stay in Babylon. It would just drive you crazy inside.
Let me add something. Maybe I have some maybe some background. Sometimes we think we can change it, if I understand. Now, you're talking about the physical. Maybe I should add something to physical Babylon, right?
One of the reasons why I asked that question is that most times I've come in contact with people that when I see them, they are doing something wrong, and I try to look for a way to encourage them to do the right thing. They will tell me that I don't like what I'm doing, but I still find myself doing it. So I keep wondering, because if you look at their heart, like they want that change, but they don't know how to come out of it. So I am kind of wondering if it is possible for them to still be in Babylon, but their heart is in Zion. So I just want to understand that.
I just want to add something a bit, you know. You're talking about the physical place now, right? You know, the truth is that we all have a good heart. Anybody who seeks God has a good heart. And some are in ignorance. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If you really understand that Babylon is a system, then you will realize why the Lord said, talking about a physical place, that we have to leave. Because you can't change that system. And the bad news is that that system will still be there when the Lord comes back. Because I was in a situation like that, and I fought, and I thought I could change it. Right? If it is a system, you can't change it. And the longer you stay there, the chances that they will change you. Okay. So that's why the Lord said, come out of her. It's like trying to change the world system, right? You will get frustrated. In fact, you will commit suicide one day, right? You know. So the physical Babylon, we are encouraged to come out of it, okay? And that's where we need to pray that the Lord gives us the grace and the strength to come out of it.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I was very much encouraged by what the Lord had spoken to us this morning, you know, especially this matter regarding Zion. To really see Zion as such a precious place, and even to have this desire to leave up everything, you know, the brother even mentioned, even if there is anything stopping you from coming to Zion, you know, from being in as a part of Zion. It can even be your own family members, it can be your work, it can be your physical infirmities, but to overcome all these things and to be in Zion. May the Lord really have, you know, create such a desire in our heart that we will seek Zion. And I was also reminded these verses in Proverbs. Just give me a minute. This whole chapter is pretty good, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter because this is Proverbs chapter 7, which talks about the crafty harlot. When I was reading this, I was reminded that Babylon is also very much like this, because even in Revelation, this Babylon is called a harlot, right? And everything from outside looks very beautiful, right? Even in verses 15, 16, everywhere you can see, you know, she spread bed with tapestry. There is, you know, perfume, myrrh, aloe, cinnamons. Everything looks nice. And, you know, she's even speaking, like, you know, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. I mean, even in some of the religions, you can see pastors speaking so many wonderful words that, like, you know, people are captivated by the speaking. And they really like to be entertained by such things, right? And I've even seen people who look for churches where there is, you know, daycare centers, like for the children to be taken care, where there are a lot of activities. I mean, these are the things that people are looking for. Like, you know, they're not really looking for the Lord. They're looking for a lot of nice things, right? But these are all deceptions, because this is actually leading them to death, right? And verses 24 to 27, it says, "Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. And all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." So, yeah, praise the Lord. May the Lord open our eyes to see that even Babylon is a path to death. It's destruction. And we should really stay away from it. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Yeah, it was so good to see how the enemy operates. Yeah, it's we've seen this picture, and it really shows the difference between Zion and Babylon. Yeah, in this picture of the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's this is in Babylon, there can be and there is a lot of good knowledge. You can find churches where you can get the best explanations of the Bible. They may even, yeah, they can maybe explain the Bible even better than we do. But I was so encouraged to see it's not just about the right knowledge, but it's about this tree of life. And oftentimes, I'm just happy with just knowing the right thing. And I'm just, it's okay, wow, okay, and I know this, and it seems all okay, but the Lord wants that we have this life, that we have the reality of this word. Yeah, and we read these verses in Jeremiah, and I just want to emphasize this because I found this really important. When we were reading in Jeremiah 29, I also read this yesterday, but I think we need this. This is really important. When it's about how to come out of Zion, out of Babylon, sorry, in 29, out of Babylon, he says here, we read these verses from 5 to 9, we read this, and here he says, "If you seek me with all of your heart." And this is really the difference. It's 10 to 13. And especially that verse in verse 12, where it says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your hearts." This is really the key difference, I think. It's where there are people who are really asking for the Lord, really seeking the Lord. Not just outwardly, not just sometimes, but from the depth of their hearts. Yeah. And so praise the Lord. This is his way to bring us out. Amen. You, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for helping me cut in line first. But I just have something short to say. I was really encouraged by what the brother was saying of where even though the Lord cast us out, he's doing everything in his power to bring us back to his kingdom. But are we doing everything in our power to actually help him bring us to his kingdom? Amen. So that was something that helped me to think about and encourage me. Amen.
I'll be quick. I just feel very convicted by the Spirit. After Blessed shared his question, because of the Lord's mercy, I was definitely a living example of coming out of Babylon. And I won't go into the details, but it kind of brought me back to the longing for Zion when the Lord revealed to me how much he loves Zion. And I knew in my spirit that I was not in his dwelling place. I just knew. It was evidence everywhere. But I was in a Christian group that I had heavily invested in the last 3.5 years in Atlanta. And I genuinely loved the brothers and sisters there. They were probably the kindest group of brothers and sisters I have ever been a part of. They had a genuineness to the Lord, but with a lot of mixture, a lot of compromise, because I knew their lives. And when the Lord brought me to a place where I, thankfully, the Lord had answered my prayer about Leo, and we're like, we gotta go. We have to get out of here. But to be honest, when it came time to make the decision, that's when the enemy attacked very fiercely. It was such a struggle. Because one day I would decide that I would let the brothers and sisters know I'm leaving. The next morning, I'd make the decision the next morning, the pastor would call me and tell me how much he appreciated that I was there, how much they need me, how much, you know, it was, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I'm not supposed to. And it was every time it seemed like I wanted to leave, something would hold me back, something would come up. And I came to a place where I was really torn. But my heart, when I came to the Lord, it cannot deny that what the Lord is telling me to do. And then one night, I joined the sisters' Tuesday night meeting, and some of them are in this room, and there was one sister who was in this room, and I barely knew her, but she looked at me straight, and I was kind of, you know, a little bit of tears, like, I don't know what to do, like, what if they change, what if this gets better, you know, because I was very involved in the services there. And I loved them very much. And then she looked at me right in the eye, and it was over Zoom, and she was like, Anne, nothing's going to change. This is a system. And it was so firm, but it caught my attention, and it almost hit me like a ton of bricks. You're right, I can't change this. I have to listen to the Lord's voice, and I have to bring this to him. He's gonna fight for me. He's gonna get me out. And long story short, he did. Praise the Lord. Yeah.